your thoughts to a word you will find in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 60, reading the second part of verse 4. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 60, reading the second part of verse 4. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Sought this morning to speak concerning the everlasting love of God as it is made known in election. And this word, as it speaks, thy sons and thy daughters. These are the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Everyone that belongs to Christ, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. And yet the wonder of redeeming love and mercy in this, that every one who has been given by God the Father to God the Son in the counsel of Jehovah before the foundation of the world will most surely be brought as sons and daughters, and in this as sinners, to the feet of Jesus. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Not one for whom Christ has died can ever be lost. However far off they may be permitted to go in their life, the Lord will bring them in his own divinely appointed time and way as sinners to the feet of Jesus. Now this evening, I must seek with the Lord's help to speak concerning the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to speak of what I would term as marks of sonship. That is, that we might seek to speak of marks of grace which reveal to those that are brought by the Spirit of God through the gateway of regeneration into the fold of Christ to know that they are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. There is a very beautiful word in the first epistle of John, and I just turn and read this, hoping that it may find a place in our hearts this evening. For this is what we need. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Of course, it can be rendered that should be called the daughters of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. This is indeed a mark of sonship. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. And then we have this very blessed word, beloved. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now what a thought that is. There is a hymn that puts this truth, I feel, in a nutshell. Those souls who long to see him now. Dear friends, this is very vital teaching. Could we sincerely say this evening, as we've come to the house of God, sir, we would see Jesus? Is this the burden of your heart? Now it says then, those souls who long to see him now shall see him face to face, without a veil between. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. The first mark or evidence of sonship that I would now bring before you is this. An evidence of being among the sons and daughters of God is to be known in the fulfillment of the words of Jesus in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. And it goes like this. I've often been compelled to mention it in preaching. But the Lord says this: all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then again the Lord says, no man can come unto me unless or except the Father which is in heaven draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, can you come in with this? Have you been compelled? Have I been compelled to come to Jesus? I do hope that the Lord will so help me to preach this evening that there may be those, oh, I would that every one could be favoured in this, but that you might go home with this sweet knowledge in your heart, sacred assurance of this, and to be able to humbly say, yes, I believe I am a son or a daughter of the Lord God Almighty. That is my desire. So have we this mark? Have we been compelled to come to Jesus as sinners, needing mercy, needing repentance, needing a Saviour? And I can tell you this, that those that are brought to the feet of Jesus in their need and with their needs will not only come in the first instance, but they will go on coming. You will remain a seeker all your life. You will remain a coming one all your life. Right through to the very end, it will be this, that you must come to Jesus. But we would also emphasize another truth, again the words of Jesus, but with every one that is brought to come to the feet of Jesus in and with their need. What is it that will bring them? It certainly isn't their own power or their own will. We shall never come to Jesus in a gracious sense like that, because in our natural state we have no desire to come to Jesus. And those that speak concerning the free will of man and suggest that all men can come to Jesus just as they wish. Well, they can only come, and they will only come, as they are motivated by the power of the Spirit. And to seek to bear this out, I bring before you the words of Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is the Jewish nation. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, how are they brought? How are they born? How are they quickened? Which were born, that is, born again, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Because it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, have we then been brought in this way? Sovereign grace or sin abounding, brought by the grace of God to begin to continue to feel our need as sinners, and in this our need as a Saviour. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. But then we have also the words of Jesus as he taught his disciples, his people, to pray. I think of the opening desires contained in what we know as the Lord's Prayer, and it's this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, if you possess life, if you're among the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, then you will begin to understand this. You will go on to understand this. Our Father, if indeed God is our Father, then you will have this mark of sonship, of being a son or daughter. Our Father which art in heaven, have we been made aware that this great God is in heaven? He is holy and just and pure. And if we have, we shall very feelingly say, hallowed be thy name. Another mark of sonship. We shall reverence the name of God. We shall tremblingly come into his presence. We are permitted to, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, thou burdened sinner, come. You're welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. The Lord has bid you come. And because there's life in your soul, you must come. And you come with all your need, your exercise, the burdens of your heart and life. And you come to Jesus with it. But you do know this. May we go on to know this. It is something that I so feel is needed in these degenerate days, and that is that we may reverence God. We shall, the more we know of him, the more we shall reverence his holy name. Oh, how many people bring God down to their human level today. A friend was showing me recently a card that a woman, spoken of as a reverend in one of the churches, came into St. Mary's Hospital recently, and brought a card with her name, and on the card were quite a number of prayers. And yet as I looked at this, all the prayers that were contained on this card, really, you could say it was bringing God down to our level, speaking to him as though he's one of us. But, oh friends, if we are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, we shall reverence his holy name. We shall not want to be familiar with him. As thousands are today, and as they address God as you, why to address God as you? It's to bring him down to our level. And all this kind of way of speaking, which to one's own heart, is just something that we shrink from and abhor in our own soul's feelings. Where there is life, and if we have been brought as sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, we shall reverence his holy name. We shall bow before him. We shall understand his word that says, God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Oh, we shall want to cleave to what people speak of today as archaic language, and all the different versions of the Bible, and so many of them, even in this, they turn, as it were, God into a man. They turn the Lord Jesus into a man, and they bring these things down to a human level, which I'm sure is, in the eyes of our God, it is something that he abhors. Reverence to God is a mark of sonship. And then another mark of being a son or daughter is truth that I know I mentioned on the past Wednesday evening, but I am compelled to bring this before you again this evening. And the truth is this. And if we belong to Christ, if we have been brought as a son or daughter to his feet, we shall be very exercised about our life. When a person is really born again, they become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. They cannot live any longer in the way that they did live. When they walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, dear friends, if we belong to the Lord's people, if we are his sons and daughters, we shall be very concerned about how we live. Our burden will be that we may live to him that died. We shall be very concerned about our relationships in life. And so I bring this before you again this evening. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Here are evidences of sonship. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then we have this very clear mark of sonship. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we possess life, It will bring about inward separation in our hearts. This is where it will begin. The separation will begin in our hearts, and that will bring about gracious separation in our lives. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And dear friends, it means separation. Again, the Lord Jesus declares this: ye cannot serve God and mammon. One of the meanings of the word mammon is money. It has other meanings. It really means the things of this world. But if we have been separated by the grace of God, we will not be able to serve God and mammon. It will be Jesus only. We shall want to follow the Lamb once slain. We shall want to live to his glory. We shall want to walk in accord with his holy word. It will indeed become our rule and our map in our life, and we shall be compelled to go to it. And there's nothing that you can come into in your life but what you will find an answer in the Word of God. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy son. Then another gracious mark of sonship is known in this. The words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Rome. In these words, you'll find it in the 8th chapter of that epistle. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now again, if there's life in our soul, if we are among these beloved of the Lord, we shall certainly feel our need to be led by the Holy Ghost. Before the Lord quickened your soul into life, you were quite happy to live your own life. You thought in those days that you could do as you liked. You were determined to have your own way, to go your own way, and you turned your back upon the Word of God and the ways of God and his people and his house. And in those days you thought that you could control your own life and do as you like. And you certainly said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now that is the attitude of the human heart. That when grace takes control of it, when there's life there, an evidence of sonship, of being a daughter, is known in this: that we shall feel our need of God the Holy Ghost. We shall be shown and taught that there are three persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it is the Holy Spirit's divine work to quicken souls into life. It is the Holy Spirit's divine work to lead souls to Christ and to reveal Christ to their soul. So has the Lord then brought us to feel our deep need of being led by the Spirit. And dear friends, this will take in everyday things. You often need to make decisions. You need from time to time to go here or there to buy the things that you need in your life. I can tell you this, that the more exercised you are about the things of this life as before God, you will know what it is to pray over it. Yes, and when you have to go and buy things you need in your life, friend, you'll be compelled to pray over it. You'll want to do the right thing. Whether it is another car, a new car, if the Lord has given you the wherewithal to buy one, whatever it is, and God's sovereignty is over all this, a new home, clothes, furniture, whatever we might name, if we're graciously exercised, you'll feel your need of guidance in this. You'll need the Holy Spirit to lead you. Oh, have you known what it is when the sun, not only the bigger things, but the smaller things in our life, but friends, have we known what it is to have to bow before our God before we go to buy something? And we've had to ask to be guided. We've needed the Holy Spirit. And then we shall so need the Holy Spirit to lead us to Christ. This will be our chief concern. Lead us to Christ, our only rest, and in his love may we be blessed. Again then, this is a mark of sonship. For as many, notice how it's worded, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. There's no doubt about this. They are the sons of God. And surely the answer, if one might put it in this way, is in your heart and mine. Do you need the Holy Ghost? Do you need him to help you to pray? You will be taught that you cannot pray aright without the teaching and help of the Holy Ghost. You will be shown that you cannot understand anything. That is, I'm speaking of spiritual things. But you'll understand this. You cannot understand spiritual things without his guidance and teaching. When we think of God the Father and God the Son, it is true that, as the hymn writer puts it, concerning the Holy Ghost, thy power conveys the blessing down from God the Father and the Son. Dear friends, every one of God's servants, they need the Holy Ghost in preaching. Oh, they are made aware of this. Whatever the Lord may help them to say, it needs the Holy Ghost to be in it, the Holy Ghost to convey it into the hearts of the hearers. And there are those of you here tonight that have known something of this. And when you've lost sight of the poor preacher, but you've heard the voice of God, and it's come from God, and it's humbled you in the dust, and it's brought you to the feet of Jesus, let me encourage you then to ask for the guidance of the Holy Ghost in your religion, in your need as a sinner. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will take of mine and will show it unto you. A mark of sonship. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then again, another very important word or truth that speaks of this blessing of knowing that we are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. In the third chapter of Proverbs, we have these words, an evidence of being among the sons and daughters of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If we are really among his people, this will be the exercise of our soul. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And you'll feel your need that the Lord should have all your heart. There's another word in this same book, and it says this, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. And that is a mark of sonship. I say it with reverence, you'll want to give the Lord your heart. You want him to have your heart. You will say, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. And then we come to this, And this is another mark of sonship. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, do we know then what it is to be under the chastening hand of God, the correcting hand of God in our life? The great mercy when we view the things that the Lord brings upon us in this life, and to understand it, that God has brought it upon us. Oh, do you know something of this? When you're made aware that God is correcting you, that he's correcting you as a father that loves his children, and you're made aware of it, and as the Holy Spirit shines into your heart, you know that you need this. We need correction. It is so in a natural sense. With parents and their children, there is the need of correction. And I feel that this is truth that is so lost sight of today. And I know that true correction with parents and their children, it is only right correction as it is administered in love. But what does the Bible say? Chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. There's the need of chastening, correction, discipline in the lives of parents with their children. But how much more then in this sacred relationship? And the word here tonight is this: my son, my daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Oh, when the Lord favours you in this, you'll thank him for it. Have we known what it is to be able to thank God for correction? And to understand this, that a father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. To feel that it's correction that has been delivered to our souls in love, because of the love of Christ to sinners, and we shall know something of this correction if we're among his people. And when there are the things that take place in our life, and the Lord will show you that it is the hand of God, and you'll understand what Eli said: it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Happy is the man whom the Lord corrected. Well, think of it. Indeed, a mark of sonship to know that God is our Father in correction. And yet, I just think of another word in one of the Psalms. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth their frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The Lord fits his correction to our need. There are parents here tonight, and you will understand me when I say this, that some children will respond to a look. Some will respond, as it were, to a word. But other children, because of their disposition and their character, they will respond to nothing else but severer treatment. And those of us here tonight who look back in our life, even in a natural way, and can thank God for fathers and mothers, and thank God for their correction and the discipline that they gave us, but how much greater be under the correcting hand of God. It's one of the wonders of redeeming love. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. But I must soon leave it. But I do hope that there will be those that will go home tonight with that sweet hope that you belong to Christ, sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, because of what the Lord has done for you. And because you have that hope and are able to say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. I just read again what I read at the beginning, hoping the Lord may grant it, as it were, as a sealing word in our hearts as we go home tonight, in these words: behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen.
Thank you.
may we bring forth fruit to thine honour and glory in our lives. Lord, take control of our hearts and our lives, and make us live to thee. Lord, we would bring everyone that's here tonight to thy feet and ask thee to bless them with these sacred blessings, that we may know that we are among thy sons and thy daughters that have been brought from far, or as thy daughter's nurse at thy side. Lord, hear us. We thank thee for thy merciful help.